This is Radio Superior 1942, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1942. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1942. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College.
Martin McKenna Show is on the air, broadcasting from the KUWS radio studios in Superior, Wisconsin, the land of beautiful lakes. It's 6 o'clock standard wartime on a mild Thursday evening, April the 9th, 1942. This is Jack McKenna speaking. Now the 6 o'clock Burger Hardware and Furniture News. They have what you need in hardware and furniture, including a Zenith electric washing machine for $49. Well, Lou, we could see the news was going to get worse before it got better.
Well, that it has. And good evening, listeners. The heroic defenders of Bataan have yielded. In a special communique from the War Department this afternoon, the situation indicates the probability that the defenses on Bataan have been overrun. Outnumbered from the beginning, Lieutenant General Jonathan Wainwright's American and Filipino troops fought to the point of exhaustion. They were strafed for months by Japanese warplanes. They lacked air support and could not be resupplied. Yet several times they drove back the Japanese invaders. The War Department reports that the four-month battle for the Philippines was successful in one major respect. It tied up Japanese troops and ships while America was able to fortify Australia, Midway, and New Guinea and get the Yankee war machine up and running. The fateful message was received in Washington at 5 a.m. this morning, sent by General Wainwright from the Corregidor Fortress, 2 miles off the Bataan Peninsula in Manila Bay. It's not clear how many of his men, if any, were evacuated from Bataan to Corregidor Island. The fight is now on by the Japanese to take Corregidor, which is in the middle of the entrance controlling Manila Bay. Knowing their mission was impossible, President Roosevelt and Secretary of War Henry Stimson vowed that the Philippine Islands would be re-won. And when General Douglas MacArthur left Bataan on March the 17th, he said, and we quote now, "The primary purpose of this is the relief of the Philippines. I came through, and I shall return." The Bataan defenders promised to hold out just as long as possible. 5 days after MacArthur arrived in Australia, General Wainwright was given a surrender ultimatum by the Japanese. Wainwright refused, and the Japanese General Yamashita's long-anticipated offensive began, outnumbering Allied troops 10-1. The timetable of the struggle to hold the Philippines is an incredible story of determination and heroism. It demonstrates the high cost of freedom that we must never take for granted. Air raids began December the 7th. On December the 10th, Japanese troops began landing invasion forces on the islands. On December the 22nd, 80 ships delivered 100,000 Japanese troops. By December the 29th, Manila was declared an open city as U.S. troops withdrew to the mountains and to Corregidor. Although badly outnumbered and exhausted from jungle fighting on January 21st, U.S. and Filipino troops mounted a counterattack and regained some of the lost territory. 5 days later, the Allies struck again, driving the Japanese back another 5 miles. Japanese General Homma committed suicide in the Manila hotel room formerly occupied by General MacArthur. General Yamashita, the conqueror of Singapore, was brought in to command the Philippine campaign. In spite of heroic fighting, the situation worsens. MacArthur is recalled to Australia March the 17th. An all-out offensive costing the Japanese many casualties breaks Allied lines 10 days later. 2 weeks later, today, word comes of the end of the defenses of Bataan. Sadly, at least one Superior man has been involved in the defense of Bataan. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has this remarkable story.
Lulin listeners, this is a case of truth being stranger than fiction. Today, the very day Bataan fell to the Japanese, Mrs. Ethel Hoffman of the Itasca neighborhood in Superior received a shortwave message from her son. Second Lieutenant Russell Hoffman sent the shortwave message, "Everything okay," much to Mother Hoffman's relief. The message was sent by shortwave from Bataan to Australia and then relayed by cable to the United States. The 1938 graduate of East High and student at Superior State, Lieutenant Hoffman entered the United States Air Corps in 1940 and arrived in the Philippines last June. A shortage of planes there probably means young Hoffman had been fighting with the infantry across the 13 miles of jungle and hills of Bataan. Russell Hoffman's complete message read, "Everything is okay. Tell all hello. No news is good news." It is possible he has evacuated to one of the four islands held by the United States in Manila Bay, Lou.
Well, our thoughts go out to Mrs. Hoffman for the safety of her son. Elsewhere in the Far East, the story of the destruction of the fabled Burmese city of Mandalay is just reaching the West. Disrupted communications and heavy Japanese assaults have delayed the story for 6 days. Now, for the first time, comes the whole story. This is a shortwave communication from United Press correspondent Daryl Berrigan from the Mutual Broadcasting System.
The dawn came up like thunder today. Through the night, a fleet of Japanese bombers ranged the skies unmolested, dropping their death loads. Tonight, this city of pagodas and tradition lay in smoking ruins. The prosperous commercial district is a shambles with hundreds of dead and wounded. At this moment, a large moon is rising over the last capital of Burma's kings, casting a dull reflection over the grotesque bodies of men, women, and children which remain in the streets. Casualties are estimated from 5,000 to 8,000, with probably 2,000 to 3,000 killed and hundreds wounded critically, but no definite count has been made yet. Three-quarters of the downtown district trading center for Mandalay's 135,000 residents were reduced to ashes and rubble. Heavy bombs folded brick and concrete structures like matchsticks, burying occupants. No warning was sounded. Hundreds of natives caught completely by surprise, burned to death. Few escaped with more than the clothes they wore. All 12 buildings of the General Hospital were burned to the ground. Chinatown, one of the most congested areas, is still littered with dead humans, horses, cattle, and dogs. The fire is still blazing, threatening to spread to the only business block still undamaged. Roads leading from the city in every direction are choked with evacuees. Some are leaving on foot, others in ox carts. All are fleeing with but a single thought in mind: to escape the Japanese terror of the skies. Daryl Berrigan, United Press Foreign Service, Mandalay.
An eyewitness to another Far East tragedy. Japanese Zeros struck fatal blows today at two British battlecruisers in the Indian Ocean. The British Admiralty reports that the HMS Cornwall and the HMS Dorchester were both sunk. Few details are available at this time, except that more than 1,100 of the 1,300 crew members and officers of the two ships have been rescued, including the captains. And the last war news today is also very disturbing. Fleets of newly built tanks and dive bombers are assaulting Russian troops in what appears to be a spring offensive launched by Nazi Germany. The assault is a huge one along a 1,200-mile front from Leningrad to the Crimea. Russian forces have been reinforced, and this spring offensive was expected. Berner Hardware News Time is 6:07. And now Jack McKenna has a word from our sponsor.
We have what you need in hardware and furniture. That's the statement by M. Berger Hardware and Furniture, and indeed they do. For example, an all-chrome breakfast set, just $39.95. A hot point refrigerator, $199.50. A Taylor Tot baby walker, $4.95. And that's the way it goes, folks. You visit our furniture department at Emberger Hardware and Furniture, and there's much, much more at attractive prices at Emberger Hardware and Furniture right here in Superior. I'm rather shell-shocked by today's news bulletins, Lou, and Mrs. Hoffman, we're all behind you.
Well, this news makes it clear how important are our efforts here on the home front. Superior Police Chief Arthur Buchanan has assigned Lieutenant Peter Ostrom and Traffic Sergeant George Borg to meet with Duluth police and defense officials about a blackout drills in the Twin Ports. They're meeting right at this hour. We have election returns from Bayfield and Hurley. Voters return Mayor Fayette Biglow to the office in Bayfield, and town voters elected I.L. Alcott chairman. Hurley voters re-elected Dr. Michael Bonassi for his fifth two-year term. Dr. Bonassi rose to prominence after his skilled handling as city health officer of Hurley's municipal drinking water problem back in 1933. And Jack's Superior City Council was very busy yesterday. Councilors approved a new lease for the Superior Municipal Stadium with the Superior Civic Baseball Association. Along with rental agreements, the Superior Blues will donate all the proceeds of one game to war relief. And Superior's police and firefighters will get no pay raises this year. The police and the fire chief will both get $265 a month. The assistant chief will get $230. Fire inspectors will get $172 a month, and basic firefighters $145 a month. Police lieutenants will get $218 a month, and detectives $175 a month, and sergeants $170. Patrolmen, well, they're salary ranges from $145 to $160 a month. And lastly, the council voted to close two streets in the north end to protect the waterfront from sabotage. A gate's already been built on Dock Street from the Farmers Union Grain Elevator to the Spencer Kellogg Elevator, where a 24-hour guard is now on duty.
I guess no one is safe these days. Well, Lou Martin will keep us posted with any new developments. Let's look at our nice spring forecast for this April the 9th, 1942. The United States Weather Bureau says today's warmer temperatures, with a high of 50 degrees, will mean warmer than usual temperatures tonight. And that, as they say, is that for our forecast. Now let's keep our chins up and know we will prevail. Hey, as long as we've got the boogie-woogie bugle boy, we're going to come out on top. This is the Andrews Sisters on station KUWS, your voice from the head of the lakes.
He was a famous trumpet man from out Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was the top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, I'm blowing reveille. He's a boogie boogie bugle boy of Company B. He made him blow a bugle for his Uncle Sam. It really brought him down because he couldn't jam. The captain seemed to understand. Because the next day the cap went out and drafted a band. And now the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's a boogie boogie bugle boy of Company B. A toot, a toot, a toot, a toot, he blows the day to the bar. Boogie rhythm, you can't blow a note unless a bass and guitar are playing with him. He makes the company jump when he plays reveille. He's a boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. He was a boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. And when he plays boogie woogie bugle, he was busy as a bee. And when he plays, he makes the company jump a to the bar. He's a boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. He blows it to the bar. He can blow a note if the bass and guitar is with him. The company jumps when he plays reveille. He's a boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. Boy,
boys to sleep with Pokey every night. And wakes them up the same way in the early bright. They clap their hands and stamp their feet, because they know how he plays when someone gives him a beat. He really breaks it up when he plays trampoline. He's a boogie boogie bugle boy of Company B. Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy of Company B.
Hey, Minneapolis, Minnesota's own Andrew Sisters on station KUWS. Hey, Lou, we've got lots of important stuff coming up.
Well, you know, the better informed that we are as citizens, the more we can do to help good listeners. Coming up, Draft Board number 2 Director Raffaele.
Do we have to?
Important draft announcements will be made. And, Jack, if you don't mind, I'd like to mention the ships that have been in port today.
Kind of nice to think of those big boats and the importance of their cargo, isn't it?
Well, that's true, of course, but I guess it's more than that. You know, those big freighters also represent normalcy and grace on the Great Lakes. Boat watchers, hey, you'll know what I mean.
Go ahead, pal.
Well, the B.L. Smith is coming into port this evening in just a few minutes. Several ships are headed out tonight. The ore carrier LaBelle, the C.L. Hutchinson, the Joseph Wood, the Crawford, the J.E. Upson, and the James Walsh will all be going under the aerial bridge between now and 10 o'clock tonight. It'll be a nice night to watch from the Duluth Canal.
Ah, you're a hopeless romantic, Lou. Well, let's hear from Benny Goodman and the Angels Sing on the Martin and McKenna Show on KUW.
We meet and the angels sing. The angels sing the sweetest song I ever heard. Speak, and the angels sing,
The enjoyable musical musings of Benny Goodman and his orchestra with vocal by Lilton Martha Tilton on station KUWS. Okay, Lou, he's all yours.
Douglas County Draft Board number 2 Director J.A. Raffley joins us with information for men considering joining the service. Welcome, Mr. Raffley.
I heard your news today, Martin. Most people didn't believe me when I said we were in for one heck of a scrap when we lost a big part of our Pacific fleet back on 7 December. Well, I just got back from sending out several new recruits to Wausau to be sworn into the U.S. Army, and they're on their way to Camp Grant. Well, now, these are brave young men, Joe White, Arnie Johnson, Richard Vaughn, Larry Chapman, James St. Kelly, Harry Larson.
We certainly wish them all the best.
Point is, there's something for everyone to do. The Salvation Army in Superior is making donuts for USO clubs. Salvation Army in France made 25 million of those things during the First World War. Ned, stick to your ribs. 25 million of those things during the First World War. We doughboys called them sinkers. They'd stick to your ribs and you'd sink like a stone. And the defense mothers in Superior. Mrs. Page is getting together a scrapbook for each local soldier who's in this here conflict. Heck, Mrs. Jacobson has the campfire girls teaching civil defense and learning a Red Cross first aid.
Well, their motto is give service.
That's the spirit, people. You told that story today, Martin. Kind of choked me up. Lieutenant Hoffman getting the last-minute message off to his mom, like that, from Bataan. You got to realize that there are many Mama Hoffmans out there worrying about their boys and husbands. At Fort Snelling, Lewis and Donald Drexler enlisted together. They're not brothers. Lewis is Don's dad. A father and son enlisting together. Imagine that devotion to the cause.
Hey, this is all very interesting.
The reason I bring it up... I don't know. If you'd hold on to your suspenders, is that there's no room for people to sit back and let somebody else do the job. There's no time for that. I may be head of the draft board, but I'm here to tell young men to get in that enlistment line. You're needed now. And women, you have to take up the slack of the men who leave their jobs here at home.
You mean housewives are going to work?
That's it. I just dropped off a list at the Evening Telegram of the men drafted this month from Douglas County.
I have a few friends on that list. Frank Penny, Marv Dolbeck, Lou Galagoski. A good bunch of guys. Well, thank you for coming in, Mr. Raffley.
Well, I thought it was important to come in after all the bad news to let the people know there's a reason for it all. We'll turn that corner soon and... Go ahead, McKenna. Play some modern swing music. It's good for the guys heading to Eau Claire tomorrow.
I'll do just that. No cracks about me, huh? Well, then your favorite Mr. Raffley, Glenn Miller and his orchestra, and Serenade in Blue. How about that? On station KUWS.
Moons ago. again your face comes back to me. Just like the theme of some forgotten melody in the album of my memory. Serenade. It seems like only yesterday, a small cafe, a crowded floor.
And as we dance the night away, I hear you say forevermore. And then the song became a sigh, forevermore became goodbye. But you remain in my heart, so
tell me, darling, is there still a spark?
Master himself, Glenn Miller and his orchestra, with Ray Eberle and the Modern Airs on the vocal, on station KUWS. Our friends at Fort Hopkins Drug Store in Superior has good news for you folks out there with sons or nephews or whoever in service. They're offering a free photo enlargement of your boy in service with a purchase of $1 or more of items to be sent to the boys at camp. Indeed, and a very attractive offer. Hey, there's a new shipment of comic books in. Maybe give you a chance to laugh a little bit during these trying times. Three comic books for 11 cents. Cigarettes, a carton, $1.19 per pack, 12 cents. 30 feet of wax paper, 2 for 7 cents. Lux or Lifebuoy, listen to that, Lou, Lifebuoy for you, 3 for 19 cents. Paper napkins, 100 for 7 cents. I could go on and on, but you get the idea. Great, great bargains at Fort Hopkins Drug Store. There in the Telegram Building. And on to this selection for your enjoyment. Good listeners, this is Kate Smith and her famous God Bless America on station KUWS.
great voice of Kate Smith to end our program tonight, friends. Stay tuned tonight at 6:15. It's News of the World with John W. Vandercook, Eddie Cantor, Dinah Shore, and their friend the Mad Russian. And then at 9 o'clock, tune in for Kate Kaiser's College of Musical Knowledge. For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna speaking, and good night.
This is Radio Superior 1942, a weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson, with research by Sarah Dorman. Other performances provided by Kathy Loxo, Tom Martinson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1942 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Your comments are welcome at 394-8530. Or write to us at KUWS Radio, UW Superior, Superior, Wisconsin, 54880. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior 1942. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.
Good listeners, we have this note to add to tonight's program. It brings home just how real that terrible battle for the Bataan Peninsula was, and how it really did hit home here in Superior.
With the help of the Douglas County Veterans Service Office, we were able to find out what happened to Second Lieutenant Russell Hoffman.
You will recall Lieutenant Hoffman sent a shortwave radio message on the same day the Japanese took Bataan. The message was to his mother, Ethel, who lived in Itasca in Superior.
Second Lieutenant Russell Hoffman was taken prisoner by the Japanese sometime around April the 17th of 1942. He did not survive the war and is buried in the Armed Forces Cemetery in Manila, Plot 2, Row 16, grave number 2007. His mother, Ethel, outlived her son by 45 years. Ethel Hoffman passed away in Superior on September the 19th, 1987.
We thought it was important to remember the terrible price so many young men and women paid in those dark days of World War II. Good night.